Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. And now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and I need a tranquilizer. And of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, man?
What's up, dude? How you doing?
I'm tense. I'm all pumped up.
Right.
I need some help. I need something.
Yeah, a stiff drink would be helpful.
Yes. Yes. We'll tell you why in a minute. But I tell you what, man. I got the adrenaline's all up. The heart's racing. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Old
I agree.
School gaming at its best.
At its best. And y'all can go check that out soon. We'll tell you about it in a second. So, but yeah, I feel you. I feel you for sure.
This is when I know we're at an age where we're just not what we used to be. And it's like, we just need a little help. You know, like, we just need all the extra little additions that we can get. Whether it's like alcohol or like whatever little relaxation we can get, we need it because, you know, we're getting old, we're getting a little frazzled, our reflexes aren't what they used to be. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, age does that to you for sure. And
yes,
we're not
does.
Getting younger. I realize that every day, man. We're not getting younger.
You know what? I told you. Because you never had that thought before you turned 30.
Yeah.
And I told you that when you turned 30, you were going to go to crap. Did I not tell you that?
No, you're absolutely right. It's happened time and time again at this point.
I don't know what it is about that number, but I was real good till I turned 30. And now it's like, oh, crap, can I just make it through another day? Actually, it's not that bad. We're really, really blessed to be where we are and have everything that we have. And what we're about to talk about is a lot of games, which I'm really excited about. We've got Battlefront in the show. We've got Cuphead in the show. We've got, what else? We got a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Coming up in the show, we've got no time to play any of it, but we've got a lot of games to play, and I'm really excited. But before we get to that, what's up with you, sir?
Man, just been working. Like you said, we're blessed. We complain a lot, but we shouldn't. I have a job that I enjoy, and so even though I'm working a ton, it's still nice. It's actually our fall break next week, which I don't get off. Really, I still have to work, but I don't have to teach and deal with quite as much stuff. And so I'm looking forward to that, hoping to play some more games during that time, maybe. Probably not, because other things are going to come up. But we'll see what happens. But yeah, that's been my life for a while now. It's just wake up, go to work, go to sleep. Play some games when I can.
Well, I told my mother today, and you know it's getting bad when you tell your mother this, but I told my mother that we were doing a show this afternoon, and I needed to reorder my priorities because this show has gotten low on my priority list,
I know.
And I don't like it. It's not good. So it's time to do a little priority reordering and get back to doing what we do. Because this, I'm starting to think that this show is what keeps us going.
Yeah.
Like, at this point in our lives, doing this show is what keeps us going. And we did a roundtable last week, and I kind of got, I didn't mention it on the air, but I kind of got depressed that a couple of the guys on the roundtable listened to other podcasts other than us, because we don't do this show enough. And so I was a little depressed about that. And yes, I'm a very jealous person. I do not like that. We should be the only gaming podcast you need. But we understand we're out once a month. We get that. Hey, why are you laughing at me, dude? Do you not agree?
No, it's funny. It's just, yeah, like, it's this weird, like, ownership thing you have. You're like, hey, wait a minute. Like, that's the hole we're supposed to fill in your life. And so, no.
Those are my people, dang it.
You're right.
Keep your hands off my people. They're my people.
Honestly, if you're listening to us, you're probably listening to other gaming podcasts because you're a person who listens to gaming podcasts, and that's what you do. There are some good ones out there, but to be fair, I listen to podcasts all the time. I have a couple of gaming podcasts that are in my subscription feed. I don't listen to them that often. I really should. I should listen to them more. The Easy Allies is my favorite, probably, but there's a couple other ones that are good ones, too. But I just, like, I listen to a lot of news and political podcasts, and I listen to, like, This American Life and that kind of stuff a lot. I listen to a ton of podcasts. Like, I've gotten into, like, I listen to podcasts every morning on my way to work and while I'm getting ready and that kind of stuff. But very little of it's gaming, which is sad. See, but it's also weird to host a gaming podcast and then listen to somebody else's podcast because you're like, either, man, I feel like we're stealing all their content, or man, I feel like we do this so much better, or man, I feel like we suck because these guys are really good.
Yeah, and the funny thing is there are a few guys out there that are really good, but most of the time I listen to somebody else and I feel really good about what we right? do. Because
it's terrible, but yes.
There are some guys out there that are really good, and then there are some guys out there that really aren't. And they seem to be somewhat more popular than us, which I don't get.
Yeah.
But
we're just hoping you put us in that good column.
Yeah. And if you don't, just don't say anything.
Right. Like, just hang out. And, yeah, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. Because I don't need to hear that. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have possession issues, and we probably need to go to counseling. But there's that. And speaking of the roundtable last week, that was probably some of the most fun that we've ever had on a roundtable. It was definitely the longest roundtable that we ever had.
I agree. I had a blast. It was a good time. It was fun just shooting the breeze with Cabbage and Spider and going all over the place because we talked about a million different things. But it was fun. But a couple of those topics, Player Unknown specifically, is going to pop back up in the show today. And so we'll be revisiting some of that content from the roundtable, which is also cool. I agree. It was a blast.
See how I did that? Like, I just sort of stumbled right into that. It makes me sound like I planned that. Yes, I am a broadcaster. I do have a broadcasting degree. And I did learn a few things when I was in school. It's an amazing thing. I got to know, because you like you said, you've been working a lot. You got fall break coming up.
Yep.
And you're not going to have a lot of time, but if you do have a little time, what is on your list of stuff you want to play when you get around to fall break?
Yeah, it's a good question, because I have a handful of things I'm currently playing. Like, I've kind of been bouncing from game to game to game quite a lot the past few weeks. And so Cuphead's probably the top of that list, which we're going to talk about a lot more here in just a second. Once I get finished with Cuphead or get so frustrated with Cuphead that I need to play something else, Metroid is the next game, the Return of Samus on that list, because it's phenomenal. It's a lot of fun. And then I also have this game called Hob, which our boy Duff hooked us up with. Which so thank you, Duff, yet again for another awesome game.
Wait, he got us more stuff?
I know, it's ridiculous. It's just absurd. And in the message, he said, maybe better than Breath of the Wild. And I was like, what?
What?
Yeah, the exact reaction. That was fantastic. So I fired it up today for just like 10 minutes to start walking around. It's an indie kind of platformer-ish. It's really pretty, and it's getting really good reviews. And so I'm really excited to play more of that one. I've barely gotten a taste of it at this point, but it looks super cool. And so that's three on the list. I also have Mass Effect. I bought Mass Effect a while back. I don't even know if we've talked about that on the show, but I have Mass Effect. I've been playing some of that, and so that's on the list. And yeah, I have way more games to play, and it's hard to focus on just one.
Well, and that's my problem. I got a ton. I haven't bought Mass Effect yet, but I haven't started Mass Effect yet. It's right on my system. It's living here. It's calling to me like all the time. I've got Deus Ex Mankind Divided. I've got one episode left of Life is Strange. There's new Batman out there that I have not played, which I'm thankful for that nobody has bought it yet, because I really have other stuff that I need to play, but there's new Batman out there. There's all kinds of stuff to play, and I just don't have time. But as I was talking about before, I have decided that it is time to reorder priorities. And I am telling myself from today on, I'm giving an hour a day to video games. That's my new pledge.
I like it.
It is not time for New Year's resolutions. We're not there yet, but I'm starting right now. I'm going to give an hour a day to video games, because I've gotten too many days have gone by without me even firing up a game, and I do not like it. So yeah. I'm hoping that there may not be more video games, there may not be more video content, but I'm hoping here very shortly you guys will hear about more stuff from me, because it is time to get back to it.
Agreed. I hope to do the same. To get a little bit of more gaming time in there, because it's important. Like, it sounds so stupid to say that, but we host a gaming podcast, and so it's a little bit important for us just to have credibility doing this. But it's our unwinding thing. Like, it has been my whole life. Like, it's what I use to unwind. And so yeah, playing games is a good thing. It's something I should encourage myself to do and not feel bad about. This is turning into a weird Stuart Smalley-like inspirational speech, but it's awesome. Well, by the way, I don't think we've ever talked about how freaking awesome it is that Stuart Smalley is in the United States Senate. Al Franken is a freaking senator.
Okay, I was talking about Al Franken with somebody else the other night. Like, here's my thing about Al Franken. Somebody else was talking about Al Franken and saying that if he made a run for something major other than what he's already got, that they might vote for him. And I said, that would be very interesting, because there's one thing you know for a fact that you don't have to guess about, and that is that the dude is crazy.
Yep.
And then the guy that I was talking to was like, yeah, but he's crazy on the right side.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I agree. I am very politically leaning much more towards Al Franken. I even read his book. He put out a book called Giant of the Senate. That's phenomenal. I love Al Franken. Go read the book if you care about politics at all and like Al Franken or are left-leaning, because it'll be fun.
Oh, like I need another book to read? Thanks right. So much for that. Wow.
Yeah, a whole nother side of things for sure. So Anyway, somehow we started talking about Al Franken, which is fun. But we should talk about Cuphead, because there is Cuphead content available. First for the Patreon guys, but soon, if you go by the Patreon page, it'll be there public for everybody. We spent about 45 minutes before we started the show playing Cuphead and talking about it. And
we recorded it.
Right. So you get to hear it. You get to participate with us in playing Cuphead. And so on the show, though, assuming that not everybody's going to go by and watch the video, we should talk a little bit about our thoughts of Cuphead. So I've been playing it, and I've got lots of thoughts about it. But you've now watched me play some of it. I kind of want to hear what your thoughts are at this point.
Okay, so I've seen about an hour of Cuphead. About an hour and a half, I should say. So far, and all I can really think to start with is that it's everything that we saw at E3 and that we hoped it would be. Like, I don't think we really had expectations for it. Like, it's one of those that you see at E3 that you look at and you're like, oh, that's really cool, but I doubt it will pan out. It panned out, and it is really, really good. Gameplay is excellent. Audio is absolutely phenomenal. Art is fantastic. It's like playing an old school cartoon from when we grew up.
Yeah,
and it just, like, there's literally, I have no gripes about it. You talk about the fact that it's hard, and I made the joke during the recording earlier that this is one of those titles that I do not want somebody to purchase for me because I have no reflexes and I will not play it. Like, I know I have no chance at this, so I don't even want a copy, but I love it so much.
Yeah. I agree with everything you said. It's ridiculously well executed, and you're absolutely right. Having seen it this was the third year we saw it at E3, so 3 years ago we saw it where it's like, oh, that looks really cool, and then last year we saw it and was like, oh wow, that looks great, come out this year please, and then it didn't, and then this year we saw it at E3 and we're like, oh my goodness, I'm tired of waiting for this game, and then it finally got here and it's like, oh, it's awesome. Thanks for making us wait and making this great, phenomenal game. Because one of the things we talked about in the roundtable is that they added some content to it, the platforming levels that originally weren't going to be in there. Those are my favorite part of the game. Like, I love those levels. And so thanks, guys, for holding it back and making it better and releasing it when it was a fantastic game.
And it's literally everything that we hoped.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I expected it to be, but whatever that was, this is it.
Yeah, but it is. The biggest thing about it is the difficulty level. That may be the only thing that I would imagine that would put some people off. But let me preface it by saying this. We host a gaming podcast. Neither of us are great, talented gamers. You have a better excuse than I do. I'm an average gamer. Like, there's some games I'm really good at, but there's most games I'm not really good at. We'll talk about that here in a little bit with a different title of a game that I'm just not very good at, and so it's not as fun as I want it to be. But Cuphead is, like, the perfect balance of, like, it's hard, but it's not so hard that you just, like, screw it and you walk away from it. It's just hard enough that when you play it, you get frustrated with it, and then you stop playing it for like 5 minutes because you're tired of it, and all you want to do is go back and play it. And so then 5 minutes later, you're just back playing it again. And then you're playing it, and you get frustrated, and you walk away, and then you get like 5 minutes, and then you're like, I got to play this game. Like, it just keeps drawing you back in. It kills you over and over, but you progress a little bit each time. You get a little bit better each time. You feel this sense of accomplishment as you progress. They just nailed the balance of the difficulty of making a game that was very purposefully difficult, but making it where it was fun to play. Like, they just killed it. I don't know how you do that. Like, that seems like, of the technical achievements of that game, of which there are many, I think that's the greatest, that they made this game that was just so well balanced in its difficulty that it remains fun even though it kicks your tail.
And the thing that I love about it is it's very obvious that they made the game that they wanted to make, and they didn't make a whole lot of compromises.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of stuff in here that you see in today's games. And I don't say that as an insult so much. It's just all of this, like, Cuphead is what we grew up with. And the games that we grew up with, if it was like, if they're hard, screw you. We don't care. That's why we made it.
Yeah. And, it's like 1950s or 60s or whatever era Disney meets 1980s video games. Like, it plays like a 1980s or a 1990s arcade game, or early 90s, 80s arcade game in the style of an old school Disney animation. And it's just a marriage that just feels good. Like, it just works well. The art style is phenomenal. All hand-drawn, which, again, I can't imagine the effort that took to hand-draw everything. But the little details, like, they killed the subtleties of it. Like, it would be so easy to make a game that was like that, that was a cool concept, but just wasn't nearly as fleshed out as this is. But this is so fleshed out. Just the animations of how the characters react to things. It just, every part of it is just executed so well.
Let's talk about the execution for a second, because if you screw up one part of this, we're not having this discussion. But the art is perfect. The audio is absolutely stellar.
Phenomenal.
It may be the best audio that I've heard, I'm going to say, probably in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Like
the music especially. The music, yes, is just killer.
The audio is absolutely ridiculous, and we're two audio guys.
Yeah.
You got more degrees than I've got, and you come at it from a different perspective. But I'm telling you, people who are not audio people, I don't care if you pay attention to anything else, get the soundtrack and just play it and just listen, because it is so good. It is absolutely insane. Every single sound effect is spot on. It mixes in with the music so well. And part of my thing about it is that as you're playing it, somewhere in the back of my brain, something is going, it's going to pop out of the screen. Like, it's going to pop out of the screen, and it's going to invade my world, and I'm going to be stuck in Cuphead. You know, like, it's one of those old school cartoons where a kid's watching it, and he's enthralled by it, and it, like, sucks him into the screen, and he can't get out, you know?
Yeah, like, I love it.
That's how I feel about it. Like, I'm watching you play it, and it's like, I'm going, it's going to get me, and I get a little mesmerized. And you, like, wake yourself up. You're like, oh, wait. I just have that feeling that if I sit and I look at it long enough, I'm going to get sucked in. And then what am I going to do?
Right.
you know, and we hadn't talked about any of this. I don't know if you feel the same way, but it just has that vibe.
I agree. Yeah, I totally. Like, and it's so immersive anyway, because playing it, you have to be so keyed into it. Like, there's some games I can play kind of passively, you know, that you give it like 40% of your attention and you can do whatever you need to do. A lot of puzzle games and that kind of stuff, obviously, that you're multitasking for. This is not one of those games. This is a game that takes a ton of your attention, because you've got to pay attention to so many things going on the screen. So one of the battles that we did in the video is this dragon, and is platforming from like cloud to cloud. If you fall off the cloud, you lose a heart. And then he's shooting like fireballs or rings at you, and then his tail comes up out of the ground, and then it changes, and there's a different mode where there's things jumping at you, and there's a different mode where there's fireballs flying around, and one, there's a flamethrower. all this to say is there's always multiple dangers, multiple things on screen that can kill you, and you then have to pay attention to movement and shooting and all that kind of stuff. And so you have to be, like, really engaged in the game or else you just die really, really fast. And I'll do that sometimes. I'll kind of space out while I'm playing it, and then I just die, you know, because there's just so many things that can kill you. And so more to that immersion thing, because you have to be so engaged with it, it sucks you in. You feel like you're becoming part of this world, and then you die, and like you explode back out of the screen, and you like catch your breath, and you're like, all right, I'm diving in again, and you hit retry, and then you dive back in, and it's like tunnel vision that you're in there. And it's these just quick little hits, because even if you beat one of the levels, they only take a couple of minutes to beat. The full thing takes a couple of minutes, but you have to make it all the way through. And so most of your gameplay is in, you know, 45-second, minute and 15-second spurts if you're doing well, or it'll be 10 or 15 seconds if you're dying really quick. And so you get these little spurts of adrenaline, and then you get to catch your breath, and then you jump back in, and you do it again, and you make it a little farther, and then you catch your breath. And it's kind of cyclical until you get all the way through the boss, and you beat it, and you celebrate for 2 seconds, and you move on to the next one, and you start all over. And it feels like it should be tedious and repetitive and should get old, but they put enough interesting game design in that I haven't yet felt like it was tedious. Like, the boss fights are just long enough that even if you die at the end, you're not like, well, I don't want to play it again because it takes so long to get back to the point I was. It's like, I want to play it again because I can get back there like right now, and then I can beat it. And so again, just that balance of the gameplay is so well done.
And you're like staring at the boss going, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
I don't care that you just killed me 75 times. I'm going to kill you.
Yep. It's as emotive as I am playing like any game ever. Like, it's so like visceral the whole time that it's just like I'm grunting and I'm moving and I'm saying things and I'm, you know, whatever. Like, it just, when you beat it, like fist pump in the air and like, yeah, eat it, man. You know, like, you just get into it because it's so like adrenaline pushing. It requires you to engage. And again, just really well done.
And during the video, I really honestly thought you were going to start cursing, which would have been a first on the air getting a sister.
Yeah.
Because it does. That's what it does to you. I mean, like,
yeah.
I remember when we were growing up, there were those games that you played, and back in the day, I had a joystick so I could play like everybody else. And, like, I had turbos, and I had every advantage that I could come up with. But I could play like everybody else, and there are those games that you beat your head against the wall with, and then you beat it, and it's like, yeah, I got skills, you know? And you know, you throw your controller on the floor, and you're like, it bounces off the concrete, and you're like, oh crap, I broke it.
Right.
You know, and I mean, that's the way this is. That's exactly the way Cuphead is.
100%. It is one of the best arcade-style games I've ever played, and it came out in 2017, which is nuts, but it's just phenomenal.
I just, like, I don't even know where you come up with a concept like this.
I know.
Like, I keep expecting for those guys to come out and be like, sorry, we were just kidding. We're not independent. We work for Disney.
Right.
I mean, that's what it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, 100% agree.
And it is that way, it is that well put together.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say what you want about Disney products, but they are very, very well put together.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite games I've played this year, and that's a year with Breath of the Wild, right? Which is one of my favorite games I've ever played, ever. Cuphead came out in the same year, and it's Not better than Breath of the Wild by any means, but it's one of the most enjoyable gaming experiences I've had this year in that context. That's pretty high praise. It's great. It's just, even if you've watched it and have been like, it's not really my thing, and it's not a game I think I would enjoy, pick it up, wait for it to come on sale. But once, like, it's only $20 for the full game right now, but once it's like $10 on Steam or something like that, like, do yourself a favor. Like, if you hate it, we'll give you $10 or something. I just don't think you'll hate it. It's so good. It's worth playing no matter what kind of gaming you're into. Like, it's just great.
Dude, did you just offer money?
Yeah, I probably won't follow through with that, so don't take us up on that offer.
No, I honestly, that's the first time I would actually ever say that I totally agree. if you don't like it, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
I know, and this is coming from a guy, think about it like this. This is coming from a guy that would have no chance to even remotely be successful in Cuphead. Like, no chance whatsoever. I just don't have what's required as far as reflexes and motor skills and all of that. I know that, but that's how good it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Like,
I know I can't touch it, but it might turn out to be, I can't believe I'm about to say this, it might turn out to be the second best game of the year.
Yeah. Like, for me personally, I could see that happening.
Like Chad is going to throw a fit because we have Horizon in your house that you've literally played less than an hour of.
Yeah.
And it's one of the best games.
Speaking
out
of
there.
A game I need to play, I do need to play that one as well.
But Cuphead is really, really, really good.
It is. It's a completely different experience. It even feels unfair to try to compare those experiences. But just on pure fun of playing a game, there's very little that I've played, not even just this year, but in the past several years, that gives me just the pure enjoyment that Cuphead has so far. Like, it's just fun. And I know, well, like, it feels unlikely that they're going to put out a lot more content for it, because it seems like such a tedious game to make. But man, I hope they do. I hope they put out more levels. I hope that there's expansions to this and whatever. Like, and they could charge me whatever they want for them. I'm going to pay it at this point. You know, it's one of those things that, like, once I get done with it, I'm going to be jonesing for more of it. And so I hope they give me more of it.
Well, and before we wrap this up, I just got to say, I was talking about, in the beginning of the show, reordering my priorities to play more games. And Cuphead is one of those games, and there are, I think it's interesting that Duff gave you Hop, because Hop may be also one of those games that makes me realize that I would be a whole lot happier in a whole lot better space if I could play games, if not full-time, a lot more. Because
sure,
there's so much great content out there. I look at something like Cuphead and I'm like, yeah, I need to be doing this full time. I need to be doing this 8 to 5 instead of going to a real job. How yeah, can I get paid for this? And yeah, and I know you're probably not completely there with me, but it's games like Cuphead and Breath of the Wild and Horizon, I just get frustrated because these are games that you should play 8 to 5 every day for an entire week, and like, I'd love to get paid to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you feel the same way. I've never really said that out loud on the show, but this year, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much good stuff out there.
And it's crazy the amount of good stuff that's out there that we don't know anything about. For this year, famously at E3, we were like, what's this player unknown battleground thing? We didn't have any clue what it was. And obviously, it's become even a bigger deal since then. We've heard a lot about it and still haven't played it, but we got a better idea of what the thing is. But that's Hob. When I get this email from Duff, I'm like, I've never even heard of this game, like, much less, like, sounds awesome and phenomenal. I go and look at it. I'm like, oh, wow, that looks great. How am I completely unaware of this, you know? Like, there's just so much content out there at this point. We say this all the time, but it's a good time to be a gamer. There's never in history been a better time to be a gamer than it, right now. With just the sheer amount of content and the sheer amount of quality stuff. I'll always be nostalgic about my childhood and playing Super Nintendo games, and I think that was kind of the golden era, you know, historically of video games, but it doesn't compare to today. Like, there's just tons of better content. There's Ooh. So much of it out here that's just ridiculous.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I forgot to mention something in the Cuphead video, and I forgot to mention something while talking about it. I love the map, because the map is like Super Mario World-y.
Yeah.
like it's got that Super Mario World feel to it.
It does. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I love the map setup. Again, everything about the game is just so well executed. So, yeah. Kudos, Cuphead. You rock. We like you, Sam. So,
now can we get some money for, like, giving those guys, no, like, joke. A 45-minute advertisement? Holy cow.
No joke. It's great. So, good for them, and further success to you guys. One more game I'll throw in here to talk about. We teased this already. This weekend, there's an open beta for Battlefront 2, which is a completely different game than Cuphead, for sure. I played a little bit of that this afternoon before we started recording. And that's a game I suck at in a different way. Like, Cuphead's a game you suck at because you're supposed to suck at. Battlefront's a game that I suck at because it's a shooter and I'm just not that great at shooters. And it's not a super twitchy shooter, which of shooters, I'm better at twitchy shooters than I am at more deliberate shooters, and it's more of a deliberate shooter. It's fun because it's Star Wars, and so the levels that I played, the one that I played the most was the one we saw at E3, with had the kind of three different stages that you start outside and then you go into the palace. It's on Naboo, right? I think.
Where right, Naboo, yes.
And then you start outside and you go into the palace and you got to protect the throne room. And it's kind of three stages to it. And so I've played that map or that level, whatever you want to call that multiplayer experience, a handful of times today, and every single time I was just terrible. Like, there's different classes, and so I've tried, like, each of them. So, like, there's just, like, the normal, like, assault trooper, and then there's, like, a heavy trooper, and I'm like, all right, I'll be the heavy, then I'll have a big gun and I won't die as often. Nope, still die. Or, like, you build up points, and so how it works is in the course of the battle, like, if you kill guys, you get points for that. And then if you get so many points, you can play, like, a special character. And so you can play as, like, a Wookiee, or you can play as Darth Maul, or, you know, something like that. And so a couple of times I had enough points to play as a special character, and then I'm like, now I'm going to be good because I have, like, a special character, and they're going to be awesome. And nope, just died, you know, like, every time. And I'm just like, ah, dang it. And so while as cool as it is, I didn't have nearly as much fun with that because I suck at it. I'm really looking forward to the campaign mode of Battlefront 2. I don't know that I'm going to spend a whole lot of time with the multiplayer on Battlefront 2.
Have we mentioned that we don't do multiplayer? Yeah.
I wish I was better at it. I wish I enjoyed it more. But a few times, you know, I'm like halfway through the battle and I'm just like, this isn't that much fun. Like, I'm just playing it to, you know, be able to talk about it more. But I'm not really enjoying this experience that much. It's just, yeah, it's not because it's bad. I think it's well executed. It's just not my thing. And that's cool. Like, if it's your thing, that's awesome. It's obviously a lot of people's thing. It's going to be a big, big hit of a game. It's just not my thing. I wish it were more so, but it's not. So it was fun to play the beta, though. I'm excited that there was an open beta to get to play around with it a little bit. More than I suck at the shooter aspect of it, I suck at the air combat, like the dogfighting squad
See,
aspect.
Now
of
that
it.
that was the part of it I was hoping I might be decent at.
I just couldn't figure out the controls for it. I just bad at it. Maybe I was playing mouse and keyboard, because for the shooter aspect of it, I'd much rather play mouse and keyboard. Maybe it works better on a controller for the shooter or for the dogfighting aspect, or maybe I'm just not good at it, which is totally possible. I just could not figure out the controls. I was miserable. Like, I did that for a little bit and was like, nah, I'm going to go back to being the shooter side of the game, because at least I can hang for more than 2 seconds in that. I was bad at it.
Man, that makes me feel so much better. When you say that makes me feel so much better. Because, like, normally you're better than me at everything. So when you struggle at something like that, I that makes me feel a little better about being me.
I'm glad my pain brings you pleasure. I do.
Well,
I can.
It does. It really does.
The sexy sidekick also enjoys my pain often. I just, like, come on, guys. Help me out here a bit.
Well, hey, it's not that we don't like it. A lot of time, especially when it comes to gaming, I feel bad because I'm crippled. And that's the one aspect of my life that if somebody said, if you could have your body work correctly in this aspect of your life, would you take it? Yes, I'd take it 1,000%.
Sure.
Because as much as I love this stuff, I want to be better at it. And I want to, part of the reason I don't play more games is because it takes so much time for me to play the games that I play. Just because even the ones that, I'm borderline decent at, I still die a lot and it takes forever. So that's the one aspect of my life that, man, I really wish I could make an adjustment. But yeah, it's nice to know that somebody out there struggles sometimes too.
I do. I am looking forward to the campaign mode. It's pretty and it's Star Wars. And so it, as long as the story's not just complete trash, it should be a fun campaign. Like, it should be fun to play. And I'll be better at that. I just suck playing against other people. Like, I can deal with AI. But man, other people. And this is, let me soapbox for a second, because I think this would help too. And playing in a beta may be a little bit different experience, but I don't think it is, ultimately. One of the things about any of these type of games where these, you got big multiplayer battles going on, it's like, conceptually, it sounds like a lot of fun because you can be tactical, like, you can have, like, squads that are doing different things and flanking. But what it turns into is just everybody running around and shooting. And so it's just chaos, and it's like, here's our objective, and then chaos, and like, everybody's just doing their thing, and I am too. Like, I'm not helping matters. Like, I'm not like, hey guys, let's have a plan, like, I'm like, hey, run, shoot, die, like, that's the whole experience. Like, if it could be a lot of people in a room together that are all like talking to each other and that kind of stuff, I think, one, I'd be better at it because I'd have a goal, an objective, a plan in place, whatever. But two, I think I would enjoy it more because it wouldn't just feel like chaos. It wouldn't feel like, here's an objective that's fairly arbitrary and really what you're doing is just running around and shooting people until the time runs out, and then maybe you win, maybe you lose, but like, it feels out of my control for the most part of whether or not we win or we lose. Like, it just feels like running and shooting and dying, and that's, I don't dig that as much. I'm sure if you're better at the game, it doesn't feel like that. But not being great at the game, that's definitely how I feel playing it. It's just hard to get fired up about that.
I think we got one guy in our audience that might be able to help us with that if we could just get across the pond, and that's our buddy Nick the Swiss.
Yeah.
That LAN parties is what he used to do. I don't know that he does so much anymore because he became a dad, and his time went out the window.
Right.
But I think about, we've been talking to Nick for a long time, and he would send us pictures about the LAN parties and some of the stuff that he was involved in, these huge, huge LAN parties. And I just think about, like, if I'm in a multiplayer, that's the way I want to do it.
Yeah.
Because you're in a room with some people that actually know what they want to do.
Yeah.
And to me, that would make a huge difference.
I agree. I think it would make that experience more fun. And then let's hope the single player's fun. You know, like let's hope that's a reason for me to play the game, get it off of Gamefly and play it on the PlayStation. And even though it'd be fun on the PC, I don't see myself paying for it. You know, like that's the thing. So, but it's fun. And if you like those big multiplayer battles, I think it's going to be a really good game. I wish I was better at them. I really do.
Yeah, I feel that way about pretty much everything. So welcome to my world. Yeah.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here. So, all that being said, we should probably talk about news. But before we jump into that, we should probably do a segment. And so we're gonna get
a segment.
I know, it's crazy. But we're gonna get it in early. It's a little early from what we usually do, but that way we're not stopping awkwardly in the middle of news stuff. So our boy Brigham is back. Brigham's got a new job, which sounds awesome. So congrats, Brigham, on the new gig.
Boy, he is. If you look that up, that company is a big PC building company.
Good for him.
That's
man.
A big deal.
I'm you know, just thrilled for anybody who finds a job that they really enjoy, that they love doing, that's a really big deal. Like, it sucks to work at a job that you don't really like. I've been fortunate to work at a job for a while now that I really enjoy, and good for you, Brigham, for getting a job that both you really enjoy and allows him more time to play video games, which ties into everything we've been talking about. So that's awesome too. So good for you on that. So he's going to tell us a little bit about his new gig and some games and all that fun stuff, and then we'll come back and talk about the news. So here is Brigham.
What's going on, Jamie and Tommy? How y'all's doing? 3 months. Wow. That's crazy. But it's good you guys got lots of viewers that are submitting content. I want to keep on going. So I want to make this last stupid update about jobs because it's going to be my last job I'm having. I plan on being there for life. Well, except for plan goal number, life goal number two. Life goal number one, finally complete. IT. Not work in IT at Cybertron PC. I'm actually at the Cybertron IT. I'm a system engineer, which is fucking amazing. I don't work now. It's pretty much I'm doing my hobby. I get to use my degrees, which I don't know if I've ever mentioned it. But just in college, and I just fucking love it. Well, not really my degrees. I never really finished it, but whatever. Anyways, how it happened was when a Cybertron employee came in, found out he does the CLX division. He's the head of it. CLX is the high-end line. They built like $20,000 gaming computers. Super cool computers. He came in. I saw a Cybertron shirt on him. I'm like, I got network with that guy. Talked to 30 minutes of talking nerd and showing pictures of our setup. He's like, hey man, email me your application and I'll forward it on. And that was a Friday. The following Monday, I got a call. The following Tuesday, got the interview. And after about 2 hours of chit-chatting for the interview, because literally he didn't go by script. We were just talking. And at the end of the interview, I asked him, when do I start? And he says, when do you want to start? And I said, I got put 2 weeks in, and then I did. I'm salary, but the cool thing about this company is they don't take advantage of it. Bad side is, well, not the bad side of them. Kansas is a shit-on state, meaning they can fire you for no matter what. They can be discriminating in the sense that they can fire you for whatever reason without disclosure of why they're firing you. So, yes, they can be discriminating. And they can also work you in Kansas. Kansas state law says they can actually work you 24/7. They said they can work you an entire shift without any breaks. They're not required to give you lunch, and they're not required to give you any breaks, and they're not required to have 8 hours of sleep between shifts, so meaning they can work you 24/7. Well, this job, they don't take advantage of any of that. They are still a right-to-work state or company, but if you work more than 40 hours, they try to get you money back, or at least over 45. So it's a really cool deal for them. I'm just living the dream now. So game update, PlayerUnknown. Got about 70 hours in it, and I took in a break because I went so hardcore. The 70 hours was in the first 4 weeks of the game. And I went too hardcore. Greatest thing of all time. About the CS Counter-Strike did the same thing. I don't know how that's possible because this is a massive map. And in a sense that you live and then you die until the next round, but there's no multiple rounds. You just die and you start a new match. Permadeath system. But whatever. I have now finished The Last of Us Remastered. Which was fucking amazing. I haven't done the DLC Left Behind. I nearly ended that due to that. I went through and played every single Gears of War game again. Went through and did 100% on completion with Gears of War 4, which I was super stoked to get. I've now finished Killzone Shadowfall on PS4. On the 360, I've gotten about 80% completion on Horizon 3, Forza Horizon 3. Finished Forza Horizon 5. Almost all of the races gold. Very close to Gran Turismo. I really don't care. let's see. What else are the games that I complete? I can't remember. I've been playing a lot of games now that I've been working just 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. Sometimes I work a little late, but it's a... I've been finally able to enjoy games and have weekends off where I can just play games, play with my dogs. Actually, I'm outside. They're getting tired, though. So they're not really playing. I'm just walking around outside enjoying the nice weather. But, it's a games, man. It's a good time to be in games. And for some reason, I don't know if you guys... This is a question I ask you guys. Have you ever played so much of something, whether a platform or a game that you adore, and you just can't go back to us? Like, one problem I'm having, I'm taking a break from my PCs, PC gaming, is because I get on my PC, I have all 289 games installed. They're not actually installed, but they're downloaded. I have a 64 terabyte NAS where I back up every single game that I have downloaded. Took a long time, but I actually ran my computer for about a month, and finally downloaded all the games, and then had them backed up to my NAS automatically. Well, not automatically, but I did, so every time I saw a certain amount of downloads, I have 8 terabytes internal. Once that filled up, I started backing up and then clearing out space. So, but have you ever gotten to where you played, like on my PC, I get on there, and in 10 minutes, I just can't find anything to do. I just end up watching YouTube. I'm like, I just shut it down. There's like, I feel like there's nothing on my computer to play. I've only played maybe 10% of my games. And it's like, it doesn't make sense. I love games more than anything. And on my consoles, I can sit on my bed and just play for 10 hours straight, and I haven't gotten bored, but I haven't played consoles that much, so that's probably why I played PC too hardcore for too long. I don't know if it's an age thing, boredom thing, overdue, what. So I was wondering, question you guys, have you guys had something like that where you just cannot do it, and you love it, you know you love it, but you just can't play it. You just don't want to. So, oh, and Destiny 2, oh my god, orgasmic. Yes, should get it on PC. First off, I'm playing on PS4. Why? Because my brother in Cincinnati, he's going to eventually get it. He's remodeling a house to a triple X, or not duplex, but it's a triple. And he's going to make it a Airbnb house. So he lives in one unit of it, has 3 different units inside that house. He's doing all remodeling by himself, with some contract work, but not much. They've already spent the $90,000 loan on contract work. So everything else they're doing on their own. It's going to be fully furnished, everything. And they're planning on making a living off of Airbnb. In Cincinnati, it's actually a big business. A lot of people do it. And then where he's at, it's a unique location. There's not a whole lot of places that do Airbnb. And it has a great lake view. So, and they also got a lake boat for it. So, pretty amazing work that he's doing. Lots of, they're working like all day, all night. Him and his girlfriend. But, he's going to eventually have his PS4 out of storage and then get Destiny 2, but that might be another year. So I'm like, I couldn't wait that long. So I had to play Destiny 2. Loving the hell out of it. One thing I've also noticed after recording, screen recordings and capturing screenshots through the PS4 and Xbox One S, everything's in 720p. Some of them are 60 frames per second, but everything is 720p. Like, what the hell? I thought it was supposed to be everything 1080p and all that shit, but no, it's not. Kind of depressing, but I'm like, whatever. I will get it on PC, but for now, I want to play through the campaign 3 times, one for each type of character. I haven't got the expansion pass bundle, so it's $90 for the game. And of course, I'm all in on digital, so why not? So I don't buy discs no more. Screw discs. They don't mean nothing. Because that's what's weird. Also, the consoles, like, why have a disc when you have to install the game anyway, take up the entire storage of the disc, and the disc is just in there for verification that you own it. That's pretty much all the disc is now. So, why not people just buy digital? You have something tandem, but whoop-de-doodle-do. Doesn't mean really. Now you get your PlayStation and you want to lose it or not even play it, because I bet every single person who buys a lot of PS3 games is not even hooked up, or if not even turned on since PS4 came out. So, tandem is a lame excuse in my opinion. I'm sure that's going to start up a storm. So, I got the new Pixel XL. I wish I got in the tube, but I didn't feel like waiting. have the Nexus 6. I use a lot of my phone on at work. I get to work from home every once in a while. So I have my full ticketing, the IT server maintenance software. Like, I can access every single server within the company from home whenever I need, like, on-call work type stuff. So there's a 1 week, every 3 or 4 weeks, we get to be on call. We just get work from home, which is really cool. Shit, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, so I got the Pixel XL because I love it. I love pure Google. It's the only way to go. Samsung can suck it. I hate cheap plastic garbage. They say it's glass. It may be glass, but it scratches just from being in your pocket, even with or without a case. It's just a piece of trash. And it's not pure Android. That's the only way to go. It doesn't even look like pure Android. But that's my little rant. See what else? So I got the Pixel XL. Loving the phone. Amazing device. So since I get work from home, I can also clean the entire phone, and I get to use it at work. So on the go, I can actually access all of the server stuff. I can access a ticketing system all from my phone. Work email, Skype for business, everything on my phone, which is amazing too. Actually, it all works very well. So I can claim the entire cell phone as tax exempt, or not tax exempt, but as part of my business tax, work expense. I get to claim part of my internet as taxes, part of my taxes. I get to claim part of, let's see, what else is there? By the way, I'm bringing this up because of the adult stuff. Sometimes adult stuff sucks. When you find the workarounds, a lot of shit, it makes it kind of worth it. Sometimes you just gotta find some people or just contact some people, get questions. You can find out what you can really cool with taxes. And it's kind of fun. It's a little numbers game. I don't mind numbers. See, what else do I get to claim as tax exempt? Oh, my computer now. So if I do upgrades for work, air quotes, I can tax exempt that shit. Or at least make it as a business tax. I can't wait to keep going. And I'm not mean by tax exempt or anything, but just claim it as a business expense for when I do my tax refund. Not as, like, using anything for tax exempt, really, as buying stuff. So, great workarounds out there. It makes it kind of fun. Also, in between the time where I went back to Office Depot and now Cybertron T, I was actually going to go truck driving. I chickened out. I had the ace. I was acing the test. I did it locally, and I was about ready to do it in Missouri because that's where the Prime Trucking Inc. was going to be. But acing the knowledge, but a couple things got scared feet. But it's a good thing I did, because if I didn't, I wouldn't be at my dream job. So, well, and just still enjoying games. You guys have fun. Adult life, it does suck. But you know what? It's a challenge, and if you like games, it means you like challenges. I think that's a pretty good scenario. So you just gotta find a way to make it fun. Gotta laugh at shit. Like, life does suck. There's a lot of horrible shit out there. And one thing from you, Jamie, you mentioned a long time ago. I mean, this was ages ago. I think it was a video you did where I was like, no matter how bad you think you have it, there's always someone who has it worse. So if you feel like you're having a terrible time, you know what? There's always someone who has it worse. And then you can find a way to find, and you look at what you really do have that really makes you feel like you're doing pretty good. So, well, enjoy the show. Love you guys. Deuces.
Hello. It's me. You should check out BammingUncensored.com. When you go there, we will have cake for you, and a party, a big party, where all your friends will be, including your best friend, the Companion Cube.
Yeah, Star Wars!
Yeah, it is.
It never gets old.
It doesn't. Star Wars music is the best.
We're on like a music kick today, but...
I know.
that's all right.
Yeah, we really should have played Cuphead, but I think we played Cuphead music on the last show, so Star Wars is good too. Either way, you can't lose.
Man, I'm feeling good for Brick and Man. He's got a good job playing a lot of games. Holy cow, dude. Where are you finding all the time to play those games?
Yeah.
It's
a good set.
That's insane.
By the way, I'll say the question he brought up in there about do we ever get to the point that, like, we've got all these games to play and just can't figure out what to play. Like, every day. Like, yeah. I feel you, man. Like, my Steam library looks like that, too. I know Jamie's looks like that, too. That you're like, I love games. I want to play a game. And then you look through your library, and you're like, I have no clue what to play. And then you end up doing something else. It happens to me all the time. So, yes. Yes, we feel you there. I don't know what to tell you other than you're not alone.
Other than pick a game and just go with it. Yeah. But
which sounds like such an easy concept. And I just... it's still not that simple for whatever reason. Like, I know it is, but it's not, you know, like, it's just the weirdest thing.
I will say this, and it's weird to say this, but you said earlier in the show that you had 6 or 8 different games that you're working on right now. I'm the same way. I got, I got a ton of stuff going, and that is not the optimal way to play video games.
Yeah.
But that's where we're at, that we have so many games to play that that's the only way that we can sample any of them and kind of even remotely know what we're talking about. Like,
yeah.
That's, like I said, it's not the optimal way to play, but it's kind of the way we have to do it at this point.
Yep. Agreed. It is what it is. And so that's where we're at. So really quick, we need to say thanks to our Patreon guys. Thanks everybody that supports us, including Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spiderwise, Spencer, Kavash, and our boy Chad, who is now officially on the list, officially on the website. Chad is giving us real money.
That's insane. like it doesn't seem right. Like, I feel like that he's like, okay, I'm giving you money now. I want your soul. I just feel like that now, like when I saw that on the Patreon, I was like, ooh, I really need to like get some garlic or something, because something bad is about to happen. I don't know if you feel the same way, but
it is a little weird. Yeah,
like it's a little bizarre.
It's off-putting, like, in a weird way. Yeah,
yeah.
We appreciate it. I mean, yeah. Don't not give us your money, but it's a little weird.
It is, and like apparently after that, I mean, it was even a little more shocking. After him talking about his kids and all the crap he's got going on and how busy he is and how he has no money and all this, and then we get $10.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
We'll take it, for sure. So, thank you, Chad.
Don't sell us to somebody. Like, I don't know what you got going on over there. I feel like that you're like a weird guy in a van with candy, and if we take it, then something bad's gonna happen. I don't know why, I just sort of feel that way. It's a little bizarre.
Yeah, I agree.
It's because he wants to call himself Pops. That's it. that's just bizarre.
Yeah.
But Chad, buddy. I don't know if you heard the last roundtable, but yeah, that's what happens when you don't show up.
He definitely did, because he hashtagged something on Facebook, Bitter Soul, the other day, which made me so happy. Oh, I love that so much. Thank you, Chad. That made me smile. So, thank you, Chad, for your contribution. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, everybody else on Patreon that's given us money. Like we said, go by the Patreon page, because there's our Cuphead video that's there now. If you're a paying member of our Patreon, we'll be there soon. Even if you're not paying, you can go by gamingUncensored.com. There's a Patreon link right there at the top of the page. So, yeah, definitely go check that out, because it's a lot of fun.
Can I mention that the other side of that spectrum is Duff? Like, if there's somebody that could totally sell us, and we'd be down a river, and we could not say anything or do anything about it, because we are so far into debt with Duff that it's ridiculous.
Yep.
I just don't feel like it's ever gonna happen.
Yeah,
I like it's that all. It's a whole separate kind of a thing.
But you're right. If he ever wants to, we're done. Like, we don't have a choice on that.
Yeah,
Duff owns us.
He's like, give me the show, give me everything you own.
He's going to cash that in someday, and we're going to be like, oh, suck, but here you go, because you got
it. That's exactly. We're sorry. We got to wrap the show up. It's over because Duff said it's over, and that's it.
For sure.
And it just keeps getting worse. Like, right. He just keeps giving us stuff.
It's ridiculous. We love it. It's fantastic. Don't hear us wrong. We love it. We're super appreciative. It's just ridiculous. So, by the way, I have to mention this because I was just looking at Twitter. Speaking of Cuphead, I saw a headline from Kotaku that's speedrunner beats every Cuphead boss. Okay, yeah, that's a thing that happens. Using Dance Dance Revolution pads.
What?
Somebody beat every boss in Cuphead on a Dance Dance Revolution machine. Like, using the left side of it for directions and the right side of it for like shooting and stuff, apparently. I don't even know where to go with that. That feels so
terrible. I quit.
That's just stupid. Why would you even think of doing that in the first place? Ridiculous.
Somebody probably made some money for doing that.
I don't know. But God bless them. If that's a thing that you can do, then good for you. You should make somebody off of it, because I don't know what else that skill's going to get you. So it just blew my mind when I saw that. All that being said, should we talk about some news?
Yes, let's do it.
We should. We'll jump in with a story that we're going to be grumpy about, and probably end with stuff we're going to be grumpy about, and probably be grumpy in the middle. So just prepare yourself for that. But this first one is a story that comes up often, and it's something that's likely going to happen at this point sooner than later, though it's still not quite here. This is EA. So once upon a time, the evil empire, we have to say, because when we started the show, EA was kind of the biggest villain in the gaming universe. I don't feel like they've been that as much the past few years, several years, maybe even. Like they've
Before they were like Skeletor. Right. You know? Like when we started, they were like Skeletor. Now they're like Walter White. You know, they're bad, and you know they're bad, but you kind of like them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And they put out games that I want to play, and so it's like, what are you going to do? And then we find somebody else to be the villain.
I'm doing really good with the analogies today. Like, I got the analogies working today.
I'm impressed. Yeah. They're solid. So, anyway, EA has a brilliant idea. It's a brilliant idea that's been bantied about several times. But again, this is the VP of Investor Relations. So, good job title there. A guy named Chris Evenden, who said that EA, to a technology conference, said that EA is working, quote, behind the scenes to build a completely streaming platform. Think Netflix for video games. The idea being that you can stream whatever game you want with a monthly subscription instead of buying games like we do now, much in the same way that nobody buys music anymore. Everybody goes and listens on Spotify, or nobody buys movies. Everybody goes and watches on Netflix. A little bit different between those two. Think probably Spotify more than Netflix, but you know, same kind of streaming concepts here, but with streaming video games. Obviously, the biggest hurdle to this, which has been and continues to be, is bandwidth and the availability of high-speed internet and good connections, even for people that have quote-unquote broadband to be able to do something like that. We're not there yet for most people, but we're getting closer, and it's a thing that keeps coming. We've been talking about cloud gaming for more than
10 years.
Yeah, for basically the entire run of this show. What was the service called that was here for a while and it's gone away now?
On Live,
that's right. That we talked about a ton. Was a big deal, was this cloud gaming service that we played with for a while and experimented with, and it did ever catch on. I don't know what happened to them. I haven't heard anything about On Live in a few years now. But that's still where gaming ultimately, I think, it's going to land. It's hard to imagine it not being there at some point, right? Do you disagree with that? I know we're both not big fans of that. But okay, I think it feels like it's going that direction.
I don't know that it can go that direction at this point because of one thing. And this is probably what EA is really pissed about right now. It could have gone that way if Valve hadn't come up with Steam. Okay? Because we have Steam, and because we have all of these games on Steam for cheap, and they're yours, they're in your library, they're available for download whenever you want them. They're right there. It's very simple. I have no desire to go to a streaming service as long as Steam is around. And Origin, at this point, for EA is a lot the same way. I bought some games on Origin. No, I'm not going to pay for them again on streaming. I'm just not.
Which is fair. But that's... I think this is where the tech side and the business side, it's weird because they're kind of divergent in this. Because I agree that Steam is an awesome platform, but what EA is talking about here is a completely different type of platform in that you don't buy games at all. You pay a monthly service to play games. And if you could do that with Steam, and so let's say Steam took on a like pay-to-play model that instead of paying for each game that I want to pay, pay and play are very similar words and easy to get confused. if instead of paying for every game I want to play individually, I paid Valve $30 a month and I could just play whatever I want from the Steam library, I'm down. Like, sign me up. The trick is do I get to play what you have in the Steam library via a stream of that game, a cloud connection to that game, or can I install that game on my system like I do now and play it as part of that service or whatever, the same being with EA or whatever it is. That's where I think, because the technology side of things with broadband, even for me, I have fiber internet at my house, and I still don't think that I could stream a high-end game really well. There's still enough dropout, especially if you're playing over Wi-Fi, even with great internet. Wi-Fi has dropout problems. Like, you have to hardwire, and that's a big thing, and most people at this point aren't hardwiring most of their rigs. You have your PlayStation in your living room. You have your modem and your router in your office. Like, you're not going to run a cable to your different rooms, probably. There's just a bunch of technical things there to make that happen that I think we're farther away from that. I think we're closer to a pay for service as opposed to pay for individual games thing.
It seems
that's coming because that's where every other entertainment thing has gone.
I love what you just said about the whole idea that you have fiber internet and it's still not fast enough. That's what people don't get. Okay?
And it's not that it's not fast enough. It's definitely fast enough. It's not stable enough. And this is the thing.
It's not predictable enough.
Exactly. And that's any internet provider. The speed itself is not the only thing that you're getting from your ISP. There are times in the day, especially like during peak hours in the evening or whatever, that your bandwidth is going to lag just because your neighbors are also using it and the people down the street are also using it and everything
well,
else. Well,
yours. You shouldn't because you're on fiber and it's
right
to your house. But
exactly.
But
for most people that are
that
on broadband at this point, like that, you're gonna run into those issues. Or if you have data caps and then they start throttling your internet, or there's just a million of these little variables in here. That's not just simply bandwidth. Bandwidth is obviously a big part of it. I check the bandwidth box at this point. Not worried about that. But there's other things that I still would be hesitant to rely on for gaming. And then ultimately, if your internet goes out, you're just screwed. Like, you don't have games, and that would suck. If you could do something where you're still able to have the game running locally on your rig, that would be great. Now, on the flip side of it, if we get to the point that all you need to run you know, Battlefront 2, let's say, speaking of EA, if all I need to run Battlefront 2 is a computer that is able to connect to a high-speed internet and that I can, you know, plug a mouse and keyboard into and has enough graphical power to stream video, then by all means, that sounds fantastic. If I don't have to buy a super high-end rig to play video games, you know, that sounds great. The tech's not there yet. But that's the direction we're going, right? In 10 years, I feel like this isn't going to be a conversation anymore. We're just going to be looking back at the days where we actually owned games, which we won't at that point. Much the same way, I don't own music anymore. Like I do, I buy music from time to time, but almost every bit of music I listen to anymore is Spotify. I listen to Spotify for 98% of the music I listen to. And I don't mind, like, it doesn't bother me that I don't own that stuff. Like once upon a time, that was a thing for me, but it's not a thing for me anymore. I wouldn't mind not owning a game if I could play the game whenever I wanted to, you know, like sense as a consumer has shifted for sure.
So can we talk about that for a second? Because that's a very, very big point right there that you just made. Spotify is the only example that makes this work. And the reason why is because they have almost everything.
Yeah.
Okay? Anything that you want to listen to, unless it's Taylor Swift, they probably got it. Okay? And that's the thing with Spotify. I'm not paying for Spotify, but I went through the summer. I had Spotify Premium for the summer because they did a special, which they never do for existing members, where I got Spotify Premium for the summer for $1. Okay? Nice. And I got used to it again. And the reason that Spotify works in this example is that they have almost everything. Like, whatever you want to play, they've got it. Everybody else out there has got a streaming music service. Amazon's got it.
Apple Music.
There's Pandora. There's Apple Music. But none of them can hold a candle to what Spotify's got. Like, I paid $4 a month through my Echo for Amazon Music for a while, and I didn't keep it because they didn't have everything. I couldn't just go there and pull it up. And so that's the key. If you're going to do this, and I really honestly believe, and I know I'm a fanboy, I understand that, but I really honestly believe the only people that I would trust to do this and be like, okay, here's my money, is Valve. Like, because they've already proven we can get you all the games and we can do it in a way that is customer-centric. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I agree with you on Valve being the people I would most want to try to do a service like this. But the thing is, I hear your point, but there is a significant difference in the music industry and in the gaming industry, as in there's not – record labels don't have streaming services. Other companies do. Amazon does. But Sony, right. BMG as a record label doesn't do their own streaming service. And so in the gaming world, it's different in that the publishers of video games are a lot more – present on the consumer level, if that makes sense, whereas record labels aren't really that present on the consumer level. Most music you listen to, and I am in the music industry and I fall into this as well, you probably don't know what record label it came from. I couldn't tell you most things that I listen to what record label put it out, just because it's not something that it matters for the consumption of music. But games are different. I can tell you the publisher of most of the games that I'm playing on a regular basis because there's just point of sale from the publishers a lot of times. And because of that, because of like EA going with Origin, you can't get their games on Steam. You can't pick up Battlefront or whatever on Steam because it's done through Origin. And so in that way, like ultimately, unless all these game companies unify for some reason or get this great licensing deal through Valve or something like that, which I kind of doubt, what we're going to end up with is EA has a streaming service and Activision has a streaming service and, you know, whatever it is. And Valve has a streaming service that is kind of the umbrella for not those big publishers. And then you end up having to pick and choose. And that gets tricky. That's a place where you're right that the best case scenario would be a Spotify type thing where they have basically everything. I just don't see that happening in the video game world. I don't see EA giving up their exclusivity to whatever game, Madden, that they have and they, you know, make tons and tons and tons of money off. And no, people would pay for a service directly from them for access to those games. It's hard to see them giving that up.
And see, as long as that's the case, I don't really feel like it could happen. Because you're right, music is different. But I tried Amazon Music Unlimited. I paid for it for a while. I won't pay for it again. And we love Amazon, but they just don't have what I want.
Sure.
Okay. And in video games, it's going to be even worse, especially for people like you and me that play everything.
Yep.
It's like, okay, how much money am I going to have to allocate to which servers to get the games that I want? I don't think people are going to put up with that.
Yeah. And I don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, so let me pose a hypothetical with this. Let's say Blizzard, because you and I both love Blizzard. And Blizzard also, like, Blizzard games aren't on Steam, and so it fits the kind of world that we're looking at here. Let's say Blizzard's putting out Diablo 4 and it looks great. Like, we're watching it and we see it at E3 or whatever, and it's like Diablo 2, and it's like, this is redeeming from Diablo 3, which was a fine game, but not Diablo 2, which we love, is this great part. You know, we're just pumped to play Diablo 4. And Blizzard says, we're putting out Diablo 4 on the new, you know, BattleNet streaming service, whatever it is that they call it. For, you know, $15 a month, you can play all you want of World of Warcraft, of Overwatch, of Diablo 4, of all of the Blizzard stuff. That's going to be hard for me not to pay for, right?
Yeah, that's
But they don't have everything. They don't have most things, but they have those things that I want to play.
But again, I go back to, it's the company. I'll pay Blizzard. I'll pay Valve. I will... Well, let me say.
I mean, you're up to two already, which says that it doesn't have to be a company that has everything. It just has to be a company that has what you want. And EA has what a lot of people want, you know? So maybe you and I don't pay for an EA streaming service, but a lot of people do, you know? Like, EA's the biggest game company on the planet, game publisher on the planet. Like, they have some leverage in this. Like, if this is something that they're pushing, and again, ultimately, I think this is where we're heading in the long term with video games, no matter what, that soon we're going to have streaming boxes in our houses and not consoles anymore, that all the computing power is going to be done in, you know, Wyoming in a warehouse, and it's just going to be beamed to our house, if they could ever get the tech right, which is a good question.
And look, the tech's a great example, because I was talking about before we fired up the mics that we were talking about that Netflix is going up $1 or $2, depending on what plane you're on.
Yep.
I am in the minority when it comes to Netflix, in that I'm paying Netflix a ton of money because I'm still getting the DVDs every month. You know why? Because not everything is on Netflix streaming, right? So, like, if I want to watch a movie, which there's a ton of movies that I missed this summer, that I didn't get a chance to go to the movie theater because I became an adult over the summer and got a real job, which drives me insane because now I don't go to the movies, I don't do some of that stuff, which I love. I'm not about to give up my Netflix DVD service. Because if I go to the $8.99 or $9.99 or whatever it is for just streaming, they got a lot of stuff. But I refuse to be one of those people that has Netflix for streaming and then goes to Redbox for when I want to rent something. Like, that just bothers me. And I know that I'm in the minority, but I've been looking at this. I did not realize the number was so high. I saw a number, and I don't know if it's accurate or not, but Netflix still has 4 million people in the U.S. subscribing to the DVD service as well as the streaming service.
Sure. But, and I think you would admit this, like, that's not going to last forever. Like, I mean, just not Netflix alone, but physical video mediums, period. Like, soon you're not going to find a Blu-ray player or a DVD player or whatever. Like, right. It's just, it's being phased out. Like, it's aging out. It still exists, but it's not going to exist into the future.
If Netflix does a deal with Hollywood, which they've had the problem with, and that's why they went the way that they did with their streaming service and did TV shows, because Hollywood said, we're not giving you this movie on streaming. If Netflix does a deal where I can get whatever I want on their service out of their library, they can have my money.
Like, sure.
They're getting a crap ton of money from me right now, and I debate every month, am I going to cancel this? You know why I don't? Because I'm thinking that I'm probably going to cancel my TV before I cancel Netflix. And if I cancel my TV, Netflix is the ultimate source for whatever I want to watch.
Sure.
And
but you make a good point in there, the analogy coming back to video games, because what likely is going to happen, and it already is happening, both in television and in movie services, is that the move is away from the physical mediums. And so, like, I don't see much about, you know, now on Blu-ray commercials sometimes, but now it's go find it on a streaming service or go buy it, you know, off of Amazon so you can stream it or whatever. Like, that's where stuff is going. But it's also going into that direct from the publisher kind of thing, or they're making their own streaming services. And so in 10 years, it's not that you're going to not be paying for Netflix because of that or whatever. It's going to be you're paying for either Netflix and a couple of other streaming services, or you're paying for Netflix and you're also buying a la carte streams from Amazon or something like that, that you never have that physical copy still. But at the end of the day, like, nobody has everything, and so you have to spread out where you're spending your money in order to get that content, which I think is ultimately what happens with games too, that maybe Steam stays a la carte and EA goes to a streaming service, and I end up paying for, you know, EA's streaming service because I want to play EA games, and I'm also still buying a la carte games off of Steam because they have all these other games I want to play. You know, like, ultimately it's where and how do we spend our money, because we're not going to be spending it the same way. I'm not going to be paying $60 for one of these EA games. I'm going to be paying $20 a month for access to those EA games. And
so that brings up the next question. What is the number that somebody is willing to pay every month that for these services? Yep. And I bring this up because I've been thinking about it. And I wasn't going to mention the number because it's insane, but I'll just tell you right now, I've been thinking about it a lot because with the prices going up, I'm paying even more money. But right now, I'm paying Netflix $31 a month. That's for 3 DVDs and the streaming service.
Sure.
$31 a month. I'm not paying anybody else. Like, I'm paying Amazon for everything that they offer on Prime, but that's because I get shipping and the video and the music and all that is thrown in. That's a different deal. But I'm not paying Amazon. I'm not paying Netflix much more money than I'm paying now. Like, it's getting to the point where I'm thinking to myself, okay, I got to cut something because I can't pay this much. So all of that being said, what is that number? If this is where we're going, and I believe you're right, what is that number that people allocate every month to pay for playing games?
Yeah, it's a man. It's a hard question. So if I consider kind of, you know, what I pay to play games right now on buying, you know, a couple of games a month, and then also paying for like Gamefly to do games that way. If I can budget $40 a month, let's pull that number out of the air. We'll say $40 a month is my budget to pay for games. And thus, if EA does a streaming service that's $20 a month, I have then, you know, $20 more a month to buy games a la carte or to buy another streaming service or whatever it is. I don't know. That would be tough.
It gets harder.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because
I don't know. Like that's a big, big part of this. The biggest thing is making it work where you play a game and you feel like you're playing a game, that you're not like playing a laggy copy of a game or something like that. It has to work first and foremost. And then if it works, it has to be at a good price point. And that's a hard thing. And it almost certainly will be more expensive than we think it should be. And almost certainly it'll end up taking off at that price point. Eventually we'll go, okay, yeah, I guess that's what it costs, you know. Like that's just how these things work.
And the only reason that I bring it up is because I'm right on the edge with Netflix. I'm going, I gotta do something here. But the reason why I've kept the DVDs all these years is because even with my assistant, even with Jane being here, and even with having some flexibility, it is hard for me to get out and go to a Redbox or to something else whenever I want to pick up a movie.
Sure.
And I don't have enough bandwidth to realistically stream it off of Amazon whenever I want.
Right.
So I've stuck with the DVDs for all these years. They keep going up. That's going to stop.
Sure. Yeah, and what's going to eventually happen, potentially, is it could be Netflix or it could be Amazon or a service similar, that you have the streaming, that you have access to all these movies, TV shows, all that stuff as your subscription. Also part of your subscription, you get 5 premium movies a month or whatever it is that you can watch what you would otherwise typically have to pay more money for, you know, to see a new release that's not going to be on a streaming service or whatever.
Right.
You know? There's a lot, and the same could be for games that EA puts out at $10 a month streaming service, and then you also, on top of that, pay $20 more to access Madden, or you pay whatever, you know. Like, there could be that same kind of tiered monetizing of it, that like you get access to the EA back catalog for this fee, and then to play newer stuff you pay this fee or whatever. I don't know. Ultimately, we're going to see something like that materialize soon from one of these big publishers, and I would guess EA is probably going to be on the forefront of that within the next couple of years. I would think that we'll see some sort of system in this vein come from EA or somebody else that's going to be Netflix for games. It's going to be all over news and popular culture being called Netflix for games. It's coming. Like, it's no surprise at this point that's coming. Every other entertainment device has gone that way. Books are that way. Like, it's everything. And so games will go that way too.
And I want you people to understand, normally we're curmudgeon-y about this. I'm not curmudgeon-y about this. I totally agree. This is the way it's going to go. This is the way it has to go. But I'll tell you what I'm addicted to, and we didn't even bring this part of it up, which I think is the best of both worlds. I have a ton of books on Audible, right? I don't know about you, but I have a ton of books on Audible. I love books. I read a lot. I know you do as well. Especially with your job being what it is and commuting and all of that. I know you listen to a lot of audiobooks also. I have a ton of books on Audible that are available to download as a file on my computer. And recently, Audible has added the option. They have a cloud player for most of their books now, so if I want to stream it on my Mac through the good speakers, that's great. I'll listen to it for a while, and then I stop it, and say I'm laying in bed and I want to pick it up on my Echo Dot, I can do that. For me, that's the best of both worlds, because if I want to download it and take it offline, take it where there's not internet available, then I'm fine. And I don't know if you saw this, but apparently that download option is now available for some stuff on Netflix.
I have seen that, yeah.
Right, so...
Which is a pretty big deal. And
they are
And I think that's the key to making gaming work as well, is that ultimately, maybe you don't have everything running locally off your system, but you've got to have some stuff running locally off your system in order to make just basic user input work pretty smoothly. And so it's maybe a hybrid system where you have a lot of local content that you're running off your rig, and so it diminishes the system specs that you need, but you're still going to need a rig that's capable of some heavy processing. And then there's cloud content that's also being streamed, and based on your internet connection, maybe it looks better, maybe it looks worse, but it still works. And so, yeah, I ultimately think that the solution is going to have to be some sort of hybrid in that same vein, or at least give you that option.
And
it's interesting that as our internet's gotten better, that the download options have gotten more regular, as opposed to the opposite way you would think they was started with more downloads when streaming was worse. But because people have more bandwidth, these big downloads become easier to do as opposed to harder to do, and thus a more realistic way. And then you can get on a plane and have your content or whatever. And so, yeah,
we got to move. But I wanted to just mention something that I think the key to all of this, at least making me happy, is the thing that terrifies me is relying on your internet connection to determine the visuals of a game. Like, I don't care what the price point is, if it's $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, whatever it is, if I'm going to pay that and you're going to tell me that I have to hybrid stream something or whatever, it had better look as good as it could possibly look. And I don't care if I've got a 20 meg internet connection and that's not enough. I am not one of those that's going to be like, well, it doesn't look as good as it could, but it works. Like, that's not cool. If I'm paying a monthly service and you're going to tell me I need to stream it, it needs to look good.
Yeah, which I agree with. I wouldn't make that compromise either, but a lot of people would. And the case in point is Netflix has a lower tier that's not high def and a higher tier that is. And I can't imagine why anybody would pay for a non-high def stream.
Well,
but people do. If you don't have the bandwidth to support it. Yeah.
You know what, and I'm not real happy about Netflix with the way that they do the higher tier, because right now, and I assume you're paying for it this way, I think most people are paying for it this way, but right now, the plan that I'm on the streaming plan, I'm paying for HD, which is absolutely necessary because I have a TV to support it.
Sure.
But to get the HD, I also have to, I pay for simultaneous streaming on two different screens, which I don't need. I'm not ever watching on two different screens simultaneously. If I could get HD on one screen and for a little less, I would pay for that. But they don't offer it. The only step down is the standard definition on one screen. And so I'm stuck paying for two screens that I never use. I just told my parents that they need to cancel their Netflix and just be using my second screen because we're wasting money, both of
sure.
us paying for it. So there's, if you're going to do stuff like that, you have to have a compromise that works. I'm not really happy especially with prices going up, I'm not really happy that I'm paying for a second screen that I have absolutely no use for.
Right, but you're still going to pay for it, which is
because
like
I don't
got
have
you.
The choice.
Right,
there's no choice.
And they know that. Like they know that people aren't going to stop paying for it because they bundle those two things together, which is also going to is going to be how it works with games too. And you know, like it's always going to be that compromise, and you're probably never going to be perfectly satisfied with the system. But as long as they can get it in the sweet spot for enough people, like it's going to be a thing, you know, like it's just,
it's
going to be a
thing. I love the way that you put it, for enough people. There's enough people that will be happy with this. And the thing that frustrates me is that those people aren't us. That they're the people that play Madden. They're the people that play Battlefront. They're the people that play insert other EA game here that we
sure.
don't play a lot of.
Yeah.
There's a lot more of those people than people like us.
Sure.
And so I think people like you and I are the ones that are gonna get hosed on this kind of deal.
Yeah, and we're old souls and we're curmudgeons and we're since we've been doing this show, like this isn't new. As we've gotten older, you and I have both been this way forever. We're just reluctant to change. And so like right now, I'm like, hey, this system works. I'm happy with how I game right now. And they're going to change it, and I'm going to go kind of kicking and screaming into that change. And then in 10 years, I'm going to be like, hey, this is a system, and it works, and I enjoy playing games. And they're going to be changing it again to, you know, like beaming it directly to my brain or whatever. And I'm going to be like, no, I don't want EA beaming games directly to my brain. And then eventually I'll get used to it, and I'll be like, this is the way games are. You know, like it's just going to – we're always just going to go kicking and screaming into the next thing. And then when we get there, we're going to be like, oh, well, I guess this is it, and then move on from there. It's the
That's
way of the world,
depressing.
My friend.
Right? That is depressing. It really is. Oh, well, I guess this is it. Okay.
Yeah. On that cheerful note, we'll move on and talk about some PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. And so this is the topic that we talked about. This isn't specifically in that topic, but bringing back up PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, we talked about on the roundtable. This is an aside from that. We'll get kind of back into a similar thing to what we talked about on the roundtable here in just a second. This is an interesting story that's going to lead into a bigger interesting story as well. And so the first thing with PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds is that they apparently put in-game ads in the game for a third-party gaming VPN from China. Which isn't the important part of this story, but it's important in that they're putting ads in the game. It just so happens to be this VPN in China, whatever. But apparently that pissed a lot of people off to have this in-game ad that they had to see. And that resulted in a torrent of negative reviews about PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. And that I didn't know what happened. I didn't have this context. I had to go look it up. That I just, like, I pulled up the PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds page the other day, and, you know, on Steam, it has the, like, recent reviews and then the all-time reviews, and it always says, you know, like, mostly positive or overwhelmingly positive or mostly negative or mixed or whatever, and I pulled up PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds the other day, and the overall reviews are mostly positive, but the recent reviews were mostly negative. I was like, oh, goodness, what'd they do? You know, because, like, we see this often. It's become kind of a thing in the game economy. But this is ultimately, apparently, what happened. Maybe something else in there as well that happened. But it leads to this idea of review bombing. It's got a name, apparently, review bombing, and where the community gets pissed about something that happened. Say, we had this just recently with Take-Two in Grand Theft Auto when they pulled support for one of the more popular mods that let users generate content. The same thing happened, that they just got obliterated on Steam. And so what Steam has done, and this is moving on to the second part of this story, which is the second thing on the show notes, what Steam has done is changed the way that they display reviews, in that now it's a graph over time. And so if you pull up the reviews page, you see it on a graph with the positive reviews being blue, you know, above the line, the negative reviews being red below the line. So you can visually see if, like, recently something happened that, like, people freaked out about, or if something happened when the game first launched, but now people are pretty happy about it. And so it gives the end user, the consumer, a way to kind of analyze the raw numbers in a way that says there was something that happened at this point in time, and you can look on the graph and say, oh, like 2 months ago, what happened that everybody suddenly hated this game? And you can get some context for that, which to me benefits both the gamer and it benefits the developer, because then whatever screw up they did or didn't do and people are just pissed for another reason has some context to it.
Absolutely. And I think it's funny that we spent so much time talking about this game that neither one of us play. and the reason why you know neither one of us play is because you have said PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds every time you bring it up, which is what I will do. Everybody else calls it PUBG, which I'm not going to do. That is like the most ridiculous thing to me.
I feel like you kind of have to be in the club, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm a poser if I call it PUBG, because I haven't ever really gotten into the thing. So, like, I feel like I'm projecting something that I'm not when I use that term. But you're absolutely right. I feel that way, too, because I call it PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds every time because of that. It's a weird thing. Even Brigham, his segment was saying it's the best thing ever, like his favorite game of all time. And we haven't played it. Yeah, I did play Fortnite, and I sucked at it. It's just, yeah. So how the game works, how Fortnite works, and how my understanding of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds works is that it's just, it drops 100 players into this big map, and it's survival of the fittest, and whoever lasts the longest wins. Whoever's the last person standing wins. And so the first time I ever played Fortnite, out of 100 people, I was the 8th person killed. Like, me and another dude, like, you jump out of a plane and then, like, you find a part on the map so you kind of skydive and float to where you want to go. And so me and another dude both picked, like, this house to land at. And we both got there. We're like, oh, crap, I guess we got to kill each other. So we chased each other around for a couple of minutes and he finally killed me. And so I was, like, the 8th dude out of 100 people to be killed. The second time I played it, I went somewhere else on the map and didn't find anybody for like 20 minutes. And so I was like the 80th person to get killed. I was in the top 20, not because I was good, just because I couldn't find anybody or nobody found me. Like, I was just hiding in a corner, you know? And so it feels a weird concept in that, like, probably 80% of the people are killed within the first 5 or 10 minutes of the game. And then, like, how they make you be competitive is there's a storm, quote-unquote storm, at least this was Fortnite, I'm sure the PlayerUnknown Battleground uses a similar thing, that, like, it pushes you continually towards the center of the map. And so you can't just hang out on the outskirts. Eventually, everybody has to come together in the middle of the map, or it kicks you out of game, you automatically die out in this storm or whatever. And so it's a weird thing. Speaking of that, because we talked about on the roundtable how there's going to be more copies of this, a studio out of the UK called Automaton Games is making a 1,000-player map. So PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds is 100 players. This company is making a 1,000-player Battle Royale version of this, which just sounds nuts. Either it has to be just a massive map, or it's going to be chaos, or both. It could easily be both of those things. There's going to be a lot more copies.
I hate to even say this because we host a gaming podcast. And if the guys at work hear me say this, I'll be blackballed for the rest of my life. But I don't care.
I know.
I don't care. Like,
I wish I was into it.
I am not. I'm not even remotely interested in. Like, it's one of those things. Like, if I go to somebody's house and they're playing this, I'll be glad to watch it. I think it'd be awesome to watch somebody else playing it, but I have absolutely no interest in this. I didn't have, and Brigham was giving me crap a while ago that it wasn't the same thing, but I felt the same way about Counter-Strike. I didn't care about Counter-Strike. I don't care about PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. I just don't care.
Yeah.
And it may be, it's like you said earlier in the show, we're not good at these types of games. Neither one of us are. And yeah. So I don't care.
Yeah.
And I feel like, because I said that our press credentials should be revoked and that we should no longer be a gaming show, but I really don't care.
I agree. It's the biggest game in the world right now, and I agree. If you dig it, we don't hold it against you. Like, we don't think anybody is, like, stupid for playing a game. It's just not our thing. And, yeah, just doesn't pull me in that much. If I knew somebody that played it that was, like, fired up about it and was like, hey, I'll sit down with you, like, let me show you what this thing is, I might get a little bit more excited about it. But I still don't know that I'd come back to it over and over. It would be, you know, something that I'd be like, oh, yeah, that was fun. Now let me go play Cuphead, you know, or something that is
or Mass Effect,
or Mass Effect, or Zelda, yeah. Or, you know, like, we love big games, we love AAA titles. It's just the right trip. I mean, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds isn't a AAA title, it's the biggest game in the world right now, so it speaks to the hierarchy of the gaming industry right now, too, which is a good thing, just not our thing. So, all that being said, quickly, a couple of things from that game company. That game company is the developer that put out Flower and Journey and these games. By the way, Flower is now available on iPad and iPhone, and it's just a pretty super cathartic game. Like, I loved playing that game on the PS3 with using the six-axis controller. Six-axis, great name for a controller. But I love playing Flower. It's one that seems like would just work beautifully on a phone or an iPad with the accelerometer motion stuff. And so that makes a lot of sense. Also, that game company showed up at the recent Apple conference of to show off the new iPhones to talk about their new games that's coming to mobile devices, to Apple devices. I don't know if it's coming to all mobile devices. But that's a big deal, too. More power, gaming power going towards the mobile world. I just saw that Super Mario Run had a big update with new levels and that kind of stuff in it. Like, that thing in your pocket is going to continue to be a big deal gaming device, for sure.
Which Brigham brought up the fact that he has a Pixel. If I were getting a new phone, I would love to try a Pixel.
Yeah.
I was at dinner with a guy the other night, and he whipped one out of his pocket, and it was like, ooh, you know, like, wow, can I just touch it? Like, I don't know what it is about the Pixel, but I would so like to try it.
It is really pretty. It definitely has that Google, like, I don't know what the word is.
Hey, let's just put it this way. Hey, if you want to send us something, somebody send us a phone.
Right.
I'm four generations behind. You want to send us something, send us new phones.
Send Jamie a phone. He's four generations behind.
Seriously, I am four generations behind. I'm using a Galaxy S4. And so, somebody, if you want to send us something, send me a new phone in the mail. I will totally use it. I will totally love you for the rest of my life because I need a new phone. Here's what's crazy about the phones, and we're going to chase a rabbit here. I can't believe we're going off the reservation. So what I love about the Galaxy phones is that you can put a micro SD card in there. That's part of the reason that I've stuck with the Galaxy phones is because you can... But, like, I have a 64-gig micro SD card in there, and it's like a 16-gig phone or something. And I thought, this is great. I won't have to worry about space. I won't have to do anything. But it's really annoying because a lot of the apps will not move the SD card. So my phone is full from app updates. And I can't do anything about it. I've got all the space I want, but the apps won't move to the SD card, which pisses me off. So I don't know if you have to deal with that on the iPhone, but it's
It's... No. iPhone does have expandable memory, so you get what you get. Which I have a 128 gig iPhone now, which is really nice.
Where did you get that? That is a major upgrade right there.
Yeah, I've had it for, I don't think we ever talked about it on the show, which is surprising, like, now that I think about it. I've had it for, man, at least 6 or 8 months. Quite a while. It's a 6 Plus, so I got it. Before
oh, you got the plus, holy
so
cow.
So it's the giant phone, which is great. I love the giant phone. It's phenomenal. But I got it before they announced the 8, obviously. I've had it for several months. They just announced the 8 and the 10 and skipped the 9, whatever. Apple, you're cool. You're like Microsoft, who also skips 9. anywho, but I got the 6 instead of the 7 because the 6 has a headphone port on it and the 7 doesn't. And I kind of care about having a headphone port, even though you get the little adapter with the 7 that you can use the lightning thing for a headphone port. It's, yeah. Again, it's one of those curmudgeon-y things that I was like, no, dang it, I want a headphone port on my phone. And so I have a headphone port on my phone. All that being said, I love the phone. It's great. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I play more games on it than I do anything else easily, and not even close.
Well, yeah, that would be a good reason to have a plus right there.
Exactly.
Games on it.
Absolutely, yeah. That's one of the things. I haven't hardly played it yet, which is a shame. I spent money on a game on my phone, which I don't do often. But I bought Thimbleweed Park, which is the new point and click adventure from. Like old school point and click adventure game. I gotta find the name. But that's like
Gabriel Knight or someone like that.
Exactly, yeah. Very much in that vein. That is super cool, like super throwback for us to games that we played when we were young. That was like King's Quest or whatever, like that kind of stuff. That's just cool. Like it's just like it's nostalgic in its own way. It's Ron Gilbert and Gary Winnick that did it. So for what that's worth. But that was Ron Gilbert did Monkey Island. So that's a big deal. Secret of Monkey Island. I'm trying to see other stuff kind of that same world. Maniac Mansion, 1987. So yeah, old school stuff that's still around, which is awesome. So
that is way cool.
That's on my phone, and I've played not nearly enough of it, but I'm looking forward to playing a lot of that too. So it is, my phone is my primary gaming device, which is nuts. I have so many things to play games on, and while we've been doing the show, I've been playing games on my phone. I haven't been playing games on my computer. I haven't been playing Peggle, which I often do as well, but today I've been playing games on my phone because that's the primary place I play games. So
again, somebody wants to send me something, send me a new phone, because I do not want to pay $600 for a new phone.
An iPhone 10 is $1,000 for a phone. It's a crazy
thing. Let me ask you this, since we're talking about it. The iPhone 10 is $1,000. You know, I saw an article from CNET or somebody like that that said, why $1,000 is really not that much for an iPhone 10, and they brought up the fact all the new stuff that the iPhone does, and how it's the most, it's the biggest Apple upgrade in years, and all this and blah blah blah, and I'm like, it's $1,000.
And to be fair, the thing I use my phone the least for is being a phone. It's my like laptop at this point. You know, it's my personal computer that I take with me everywhere. But still, $1,000 for something that has phone in the name of it is just hard to wrap your head around. Like I will
say this. I'm the opposite. I still use it as a phone mostly. But yeah, here's what'll blow your mind. You will get a huge kick out of this. I've been having issues. I don't know if you use it, but I've been having issues with the speech recognition on my Mac. That it's gotten to where it doesn't work correctly everywhere. Like, it doesn't work correctly in my word processor. It doesn't work correctly in Gmail. It only works correctly a couple of places. Like, it'll smash words together. It'll capitalize a word every time that I stop and start again. Like, it's really annoying. So, for writing, for doing blog posts and stuff on Gaming Uncensored, I've started writing in the Gmail app on my phone and just saving a draft.
Yeah.
And you know, putting stuff on the website that way, going to my computer and copy and pasting from Gmail onto the website. And so I'm slowly migrating into that. My phone does more stuff than just be a phone. So if you want to buy me a new phone, I'm going to keep saying that, because if you want to buy me a new phone, I will use it for more than just being a phone, because I'm using the crap out of it to write content for Gaming Uncensored and other websites, because the speech-to-text actually works better than my $3,000 laptop, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm so upset about Apple, at Apple for that right now, because it really needs to work. But the phone has the best speech recognition by far.
Yeah.
So.
I don't ever use it, so I've not had that experience, but I trust you that it doesn't work great. So, really quickly, just a couple of things. We'll finish up. By the way, go by the show notes, gaminguncensored.com, because there's a few things we didn't get to, including the Atari box, which we'll want to spend some time on.
We need to spend some time on that for sure.
Yeah, so we're not going to do it today, so we're running out of time, and we'll get more details, because we still don't honestly have a ton of details, but we have a few more. So look forward to that coming soon. I will mention Stardew Valley is now out on the Switch for $15. I fell in love with this game. We talked about this. It was kind of holiday season last year that I started playing Stardew Valley. It's just a blast, and it seems like the perfect Switch game. Like, it just seems like it would work great on that console, enough so that I'm kind of thinking about it. It's like it's tempting me to go buy this game again to play it on the Switch.
Dude, I know we're out of time, but we gotta talk. What is going on with you?
I know.
You're buying games left and right. What is up?
Part of it is that people are giving us money via Patreon, and so we can buy some games, which is nice. Yeah, but part of it's just like I want to buy some games, and I have a little bit of money to spend, and so I'm slightly less cheap than I used to be. Still cheap. Don't hear me wrong. Still don't buy a lot of games, but I definitely pay more money for games than I used to, and that's a thing. And it's also, it's just kind of a different game economy at this point. We're talking about how things change. I used to rent every game. Renting is becoming less and less viable. I still rent a lot of games, but it's not going to be around forever, and so I'm having to buy more stuff. And now when I buy something, I want to buy something more. There we are. So,
it's freaking me out. It really is.
It is. That's fair. But speaking of games you don't have to buy, segue. Did you like that? Free games this month on PlayStation Plus include, we mentioned this on the roundtable, Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, and then the Amnesia Collection. So Metal Gear Solid 5, phenomenal. And then Amnesia is supposed to be good. It's not really my thing, so I'm not going to play it, but people like it, poor franchise stuff. But Metal Gear Solid 5, for sure, that's a big deal, so, yeah.
Even though it's not done, still good.
Right, yeah, and I meant the Phantom Pain, not Ground Zeroes. Ground Zeroes was the little one. This is the full thing that's not done, the whole thing that, if they would have finished the game, would have been the best Metal Gear Solid game ever. But they didn't finish the game, and so it's not. But it's still really good, and you should play it. And now if you have a PlayStation Plus subscription, you can play it for free. So there you go. Go by the show notes, gaminguncensored.com, because like I said, there's a couple of things we missed that you'll want to see there. And also go by Twitter. We're at PodcastGU. You can see some of the stuff there. I try to retweet out some of the stuff we missed for sure. So follow us on Twitter and see stuff we didn't talk about there as well.
You are getting freaky with that Twitter, man.
It's like, fun. I really enjoy it.
You're gonna have to, like, next time I see you, you're gonna have to give me a class on Twitter, because I'm pretty sure you figured out stuff that I don't know yet.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. It's probably my favorite social media. But I'm still learning how to use it, but I think out of all social media, it's probably my favorite because you don't have to do a lot. You got 140 characters and that's it. So I dig it a lot, but seriously, when I see you, you're probably going to have to teach me a couple of things.
Yeah. I don't know how well I'm doing with it. I just, it's fun. It's another one of those weird things that I've never been much into social media, but there's so much good content. It's such a good way to find content. So it works out.
Absolutely.
So anyway, yeah, that's the news for today.
Dude, I really feel like we need to talk about sports because your Astros are in the playoffs.
And killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't believe you're not, like, gloating about that. Like,
man, I can if you want me to. My favorite player in the league for the past few years has been Jose Altuve, the second baseman for the Astros, who's 5'6", shortest dude in Major League Baseball, hit two home runs, maybe. Two home runs, I think, in the first game, and then one home run in the second game against the Red Sox. But two home runs in that first game from a dude that's 5'6". It's crazy. That dude is phenomenal.
Can I ask you a question? I don't think I've ever asked you. And I think I know the answer because you're the cheapest person on the planet. But but you're changing on me, so yeah. I feel like I have to ask this. Do you pay for the MLB season pass?
I do not.
You do not? Okay.
I do not because I'm cheap. We get some Astros games here, especially down to playoffs. They're a little bit more common. But living in Dallas, we get Rangers games, obviously. Even the Rangers play the Astros several times because they're in the same division. But we get Astros games from other times sometimes. And there's other means to watch baseball, too, and sometimes I utilize other means.
Well, you're going to have to tell me about the other means because I'm debating on not getting basketball this year. Like, I got my bill from Dish, and it's really expensive this month because they want me to pay for basketball, and I'm thinking about not paying for basketball, which is insane. Because I love basketball and it makes me happy. Yeah. So if you have other means of getting sporting events, you might have to let me know about that. Because
there's a popular website, like a big internet thing, that has sub things, and there's certain sub things that can help out there.
Really?
Have, say, like MLB streams or NFL streams. And
that's
just
kind
there
of amazing.
On a sub thing. So if you can find that specific sub thing, there's
that's
that. Because I also,
kind of amazing.
I also want to watch Broncos games. And so far, luckily, three of the Broncos games have been national broadcasts. And so I haven't had a big issue watching Broncos games because they've been on national TV. But the one that where they lost against the Buffalo Bills of all teams, I had to watch online and be very sad about. But yeah, there's ways to do it for sure. And I'm not condoning that.
No, we're not at all. No. And like I said, the only reason I bring it up, you know, I love basketball and I especially love to watch the Warriors. And this is the first year that I thought, dude, I really need to pay for that. I'll probably still end up paying for it.
That's fair. You should. But do the right thing.
But I'm actually
but
I'm
if you
considering
don't, there's
it.
A sub thing where you could ask.
Right.
You know.
See, I never thought of that as the place to go for that. But
you wouldn't, but it works. It's effective.
Oh, well, so. Good to know. Good to
yep.
know.
Yep.
So. I guess you're feeling pretty good about the Broncos since they came up.
My sports teams are doing well right now. I don't know if the Broncos will keep it up, but they look good right now. Beat the Cowboys. The Cowboys are a good team. Beat the Raiders. The Raiders are a big division rival. And so, crazy Chargers game, the first game of the season that was nuts, went down to the very last minute, was super fun. And so, yeah. I've enjoyed the Broncos so far, even losing to the Bills, which was painful. It's been okay. And they have a bye week this week, I think. So I get to focus all my attention on the Astros this week.
Have we mentioned the fact that we love sports and we would do a sports podcast if there was time and money would. Available?
We did once upon a time. A very, very yes. short-lived sports podcast, but we did it.
Yes, we did.
We still have production, everything for it. If we ever have the time and effort to do it.
Hey,
bring back the inactive list.
did I mention that if somebody wants to give us money, we'll do basically anything?
That's fair.
If we could get some money for doing a sports podcast, we would totally do it.
Yeah.
Because if we haven't mentioned it, and this is me wrapping up right here, I can't say for you because you have a job that you love, but this is by far my favorite thing to do every month. I love this show. I love podcasting. I don't do nearly enough. And if we could do more and we could somehow make a living at it, believe us, we would.
Yeah.
I really honestly do believe that we would do this show and have a sports podcast if it were viable. I think we could very easily do both. Agree, disagree, am I being crazy? Cause,
it would be fun. Like,
this is a lot of fun for us.
It is. Yeah, absolutely agree.
So, that being said, if you want to talk to us, you know how to do it. We're on the Facebook, we're on the Twitter. We are available via the website, gamingunsensored.com. You can hit us on Gmail, gamingunsensored@gmail.com. If you want to submit a segment, you can do that via the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
Of course, it'll cut you off after 3 minutes, but if it does, call us back. We will stitch them together because we love you.
That's fair.
We do. So, we will totally do that. All of that stuff is available for you. Of course, the Patreon page is over there. There's always stuff going on. I'm thankful that Tommy does these little videos for us to put up because then I don't feel bad on the weeks or a couple of weeks that I don't put up video content, which that happens to be the last 2 weeks. I've done nothing and Tommy has totally saved my bacon with these Patreon videos that we're doing. So
it goes both ways because I go through lulls too. But by the way, there is I have an article up at the website now. It's live on the website or will be tomorrow, I think, actually. But it's live on the Patreon right now about The Long Dark. I finally wrote something up about The Long Dark. And so you can go check that out, which is a phenomenal game. And you should also play it because it's really, really good. So go read that review / thoughts / me channeling my inner Les Stroud Survivor Man.
Very, very, very good stuff. We love this stuff. If we mentioned that. And we got to wrap up for right now. So for right now, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored. And for one more show, we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for this show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.